Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26. We're continuing a sermon series, a three-part series. And this is number two in the series of Christianity. They were first called Christians, is the title. Today we're going to look at the Christian and his church. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Will you stand with me as we read from God's precious word? Acts 11 and 26 says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we pray that you will teach us from your word, that we may know you better, that we may serve you better, that we may be drawn closer to you. We give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. They were first called Christians. Now, last week we talked about the beginning of that walk where you're first come to be a Christian. And you know what? You're not born a Christian, okay? That happens when you're born again, all right? Then when you've come to that point, and not to re-preach everything last week, but I am going to touch on it, okay? If you have not come to that point in your life where you called upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, my friends, you're not a Christian, okay? Now, I have talked to people and witnessing to them, and I've asked them questions, well, are you saved? And they say, well, yes, I'm saved. And I said, well, okay, tell me about when you were saved. And they say, well, I've always been saved. Oh, no. Oh, no. You haven't always been saved. Salvation occurs when you come to that point in your life where you choose Jesus. Okay? And so first and foremost today, I want you to understand that that is the vital need in your life, is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How do you do that? Well, just very simply, by calling upon Jesus, by praying, Lord, save me. It's not, and you hear people, say, repeat after me. I'm not real big on repeat after me, all right? Because there are no set words where you say these words and you'll be saved. It's a life commitment where you commit your life to Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never done that, my prayer for you, I beg you, consider that today. Because when you leave here, you need to know where you're going when this life is through. But today, I want to build on that concept of you have come to that point in life where you have called upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What's next? Well, one of the things that characterized these Christians in Antioch, one of the reasons that they were called Christians was because of their church affiliation. And understand this, let me say from the very beginning, you cannot live a life that Jesus has called you to live apart from God's church. Okay? Now, church does not save you. And I've heard that, you know, old preacher, now church doesn't save you. You're absolutely right. All right? Jesus is the one that saves you. However, he has chosen to work through his New Testament church. All right? That's why in the book of Ephesians, we're told, unto him be glory throughout all ages, world without end, through the church. All right? So there has to be a church connection in the life of a Christian today for God to be pleased with your life. And that's what we're going to talk about, is your church connection as a Christian. And we begin with, Christians are connected to the church. One thing we see about this group in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, they assembled with the church for a whole year. I even venture to say they were probably assembling about every day. You know what was wrong with the folks in the New Testament? They always went to church. That was just such a part of their life. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Daily? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine listening to me daily? Oh, that'd be good stuff, wouldn't it? Maybe not. But in the New Testament, they were continually gathering together because they knew the importance. Acts 5:12 is the same thing. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord on Solomon's porch. They just kept meeting together. You ever wonder why? Because they needed one another. And that's what I want you to understand today, is that Christians need Christians. You need other brothers and sisters in Christ that you can lean on, that will walk with you through this life. You know, the definition of church, if you look up an official definition of church, you'll find something like this: a group of baptized believers covenant together to carry out the Great Commission. In our language, let's put it down on our life level. It is a group of baptized believers who are agreed together, who have joined together to live a God-honoring life while upon this earth. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ to do that. Why? Because it's not easy. Everywhere you look in society today, there is attack upon God and godly principles. Everywhere you look today, there are attacks on marriages, there are attacks on families, there are attacks on our children. It is difficult to live a God-honoring life. But it is easier to live a God-honoring life when I've got a brother and sisters in Christ that are standing beside me encouraging me. It's just easier. It's just an encouragement. And having a church home. Listen, I love our church family so very much. Every time we come together, I'm encouraged. Every time we meet in this environment, I'm encouraged. I want to serve the Lord more. I want to be more faithful. I want to be a better pastor. I want to honor and glorify God just because of my church family. Oh, I need you. And you need, we all need one another. And my question to you today is, and I'm not trying to talk you into anything, but I am going to challenge you, do you have a church home? Do you have a church family that you can lean on, that you can run to? You know, there are times I just need people to confide in. You know what I'm talking about? And you don't just confide in just anybody. I need someone who knows where I'm coming from. I need someone who will give me godly advice and help me to make the right decisions. You say, Brother Doug, you're supposed to know everything. Well, I do, but no, I don't. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I struggle like everybody else, but I want to tell you something. I would not trade my church family for anything. My Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, is the most precious thing to me. But I want to tell you, a very vital and important part of my life is being connected to the family of God. And I want to encourage you. Have you been seeking a church home? Sometimes people have told me through visiting, it's kind of funny. We're seeking the Lord. 6 months goes by, and you're thinking, okay, they've been coming. 8 months go by, and you're thinking, okay, they're coming. A year goes by. Okay, they're coming. Still attending. And I'm thinking, now they must have talked to the Lord by now. Because they keep coming, you know. Sometimes instead of seeking the Lord, we stall. You know. Like I said, I'm not trying to talk anyone into becoming a member of Victory. I want you to be where the Lord wants you to be. Okay? But I do want you to understand how vital church membership is as we fight the battles of this life. We need one another to lean on. We need the prayers of one another. And if you haven't been seeking a church home, it's time to start. If you are indeed a child of God. Okay? Number one, Christians are connected to the church. Number two, Christians contribute to the church, and we're not talking about money. Okay? Money's the easiest part of contributing to the church. All right. What we're talking about is the overall purpose of what church membership is about. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, we read this. For as we have many members, and he's talking about the church, the local church. For as we having many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us, what does that say? Let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know what the key word there is? Let him use it. You have been given a gift of God. And God builds His church with the different parts as a body that functions healthy. All right? If you are here and you don't know the true joy of church membership, I want to challenge you. What are you doing within the church? Are you involved? Are you participating? You see, that's when it becomes a home church. You're not just placed in the body to do nothing. All right? Some people have the idea of church membership is all about we just come and we worship on Sunday morning. We go home, we don't worry about it until next Sunday morning. No, you're missing the point. You are part of the body of Christ. And I have figured out. The last year we started an exercise program, and I've shared that with you before. But, you know, I have figured out the more exercise I get, the better I feel. Isn't it neat? You know what? The more I exercise my gifts in the Lord, the better I am spiritually. Isn't it awesome how that works? You see, that's where you become connected. That's where the joy of membership really comes through in your life, is when you're taking that gift that God has blessed you with and you're using that gift for the edification of the Lord's church. Listen, Christians contribute to their church by using the gift that God has given to them. Christians are also consistent in their church. Now, I want you to grab a hold of this, okay? I want you to think about this. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Then this is the old standby of every preacher that, boy, we just harp on. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm sorry, I'm going back in the King James. Quoting from memory. Every once in a while I do that. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you know what we do? We stop with the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together and say, you're supposed to be at church every time the doors are open. And that's true. You should be at church every time the doors are open. However, you can't understand this verse without considering verse 24. And verse 24 begins with consider one another. And Christians consistently consider one another in their church. Now I want you to understand the definition of that word consider. It means to give careful attention to one another. All right? The idea there is that we learn and that we do care for people. Sometimes I think we get to be so churchy that we forget to care. One thing that blesses my heart as a pastor is when people tell me that they came to Victory and they just, we have such a family, a loving, friendly church environment. You know why? Because there are people here who know how to love people. That know how to care about people. But let's take it a step farther. The idea with this text in considering one another is to be concerned with the spiritual life of one another. You know what we're supposed to do when we come together as a body? We're supposed to be concerned about where each other is spiritually. I'm supposed to care about your relationship with Christ. You're supposed to care about my relationship with Christ. That is important, because I want to tell you, true satisfaction lies in being right with God. So as we think, all right, what church membership is, number one, we consistently consider one another with a goal that when we assemble, we impact or we encourage the lives of other members in their walk with Christ. Number two, we consistently stir up love. Listen, do you ever stir? Got to stir the pot every once in a while, right? When my kids were growing up, you remember that move, that thing they did? I used to think it was this, and Beth told me one day, you're stirring the pot, you're not doing the whatever move that was. What was that called? Cabbage patch. I was trying to be a cool dad. Boy, that's way off the subject, isn't it? Man. That's all right. You need a break. Now let's get back. Christians constantly stir up love. What's it saying? We love one another. Sometimes we're hard to love. Sometimes we're cranky, and we're not talking about us. We're talking about those folks over there. Right? The thing that's got to mark a New Testament church is the love that grips the membership every time we come together. Okay? Love is who we are. Without love, we're a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, Paul said. Oh, listen, beloved, we've got to love one another. And I believe that we do. As a matter of fact, I've never been a part of a more loving church than Victory Missionary Baptist Church. But you understand that is our strong suit, and we have to hold on to it with all that we are. We've got to love. A Christian will stir up love in his church. A Christian will constantly stir up good works in his church. What does that mean? How do you stir up good works? Well, in Matthew 5:16, Jesus put it like this: let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Looking for the opportunity to impact the lives of other church members. Looking for the opportunity to impact the lives of our community. Do you realize a church should just be a launching pad for the gifts that God gives you? A launching pad that sends you out into the community where you make a difference. A launching pad within the church where you touch the lives of other believers. You know, one of the greatest joys of pastoring is when you know you have had an effect on the life of somebody else. If you want a joy of being a child of God, touch somebody else's life. Okay? That's what this is talking about. Consistently stir up good works. And then you know we've got to get there. You consistently attend. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That word forsake means to abandon. All right? And it says we should have the idea or the concept, the desire that more and more as you see the day approaching, you want to meet together. What's the day that is approaching? Jesus is coming back. Let me tell you something. You know Jesus is coming. We are closer than we have ever been. I believe He could come today. I believe He could come next week. He can come anytime He wants to. But one thing I do know is He's coming back, and I do believe it won't be long. Okay?
And the more I realize how close we are, the more I realize how much I need my church family. How much I need to see my church family. Do you realize just seeing one another is an encouragement? Do you? Do you realize that when you show up and come to church that you may think, well, I'm not really doing anything. Yes, you are. Oh, you're touching this preacher's heart. Because I want you to know it is a joy to have a house full of people to preach to. You're blessing me. And I tell you, not only are you blessing me, you're blessing your friends that are here. You're blessing your Sunday school teacher that's here. You're blessing your family that's here. Just your presence. Because your presence, what your presence says, I love Jesus. And I'm here to worship Jesus. Listen, do not let your church attendance go. We're living in an age that just makes me afraid. And the reason I'm afraid is because I see church attendance becoming less and less important in today's society, when it should be more important now than it's ever been. Okay? I see people who just decide, well, we're not going today. Why? Well, they just don't want to go. Let me tell you, if you just don't want to go, something's wrong. Okay? Something's wrong. You should have the desire. And if you don't have that desire, first place you need to get is on your knees. Don't point a finger at your church yet, you know. Don't point a finger and say, well, that's that church. No, get on your knees and seek the Lord and find why the desire is not there. Okay? Don't forsake the assembly. And I'm going to get on my soapbox just a minute. Now, I know that God leads people to other places. And when I'm talking here, I want you to know I'm not talking about that family that goes on vacation. We all take a vacation, go out of town, have at it. Have a good time while you're gone. All right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those who just decide, I'm not coming this week. Let me tell you what happens. You say, I'm not coming this week. Next week it gets easier. About the third or fourth Sunday, you don't even question. And then what happens? It's about the sixth Sunday you say, oh, I hadn't been to church in a long time. And nobody from the church has called me. I cannot believe. Can you believe those folks at Victory have not called me and I haven't been there in 8 weeks? Now, hold on. This is a pastor soapbox moment, okay? Do not try to blame the faithful folks at church because you have decided to forsake the assembling of God's people. Your being wrong has not brought this entire church body into wrongness. You may say, well, now, Brother Doug, you know, they should call me. Perhaps we should, and perhaps it's an oversight on our part. But do not point the finger when you're the one that made the decision, I'm not going. It's your fault. Don't try to put it between the church and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Okay? And I say that with love. I love you. But that's just right. Okay? That's just right. Now, that's not to say we're not going to call anybody when they miss church. No. Okay? But boy, in ministry, I've heard that excuse and I've always thought, why did I suddenly become wrong? Because you forsook the assembling of the church. No. No. Step up and take responsibility for the bad choice that you made. And get back in church. Okay? Listen, church family is so vital. We need one another. We need the consistency. And then finally, Christians are commissioned through the church. Christians are commissioned through the church. I have heard time and time again, well, you know, I don't need the church to serve the Lord. Well, obviously, you have not read the Word of God very much. Okay?
To begin with, we are given a great commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, this commission was not given to you as an individual. It was given to the church. All right? And what Matthew 28, 19, 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. That's the commission. And that was given to the church. However, the church is made up of you and I. Amen? So it becomes our job to do it through the church. All right? To outreach through the church, to work through the church. But I'm going to offer you this one last idea. Before you can be an effective Christian, you're going to have to be equipped to be an effective Christian. You see, God does, and we read about it earlier, how that God gives us gifts and makes us a part of the body. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to refine those gifts that God gives. We've got to practice, we've got to learn, and we've got to grow. Okay? You have to be equipped to serve the Lord. Do you realize that's also the idea of church? It's about equipping you to serve the Lord. If you'll notice in the text, Acts 11:26, it said they met with them for an entire year. They didn't just meet and sing a lot of songs. You know what they did? They met and they taught for an entire year. It says they taught a great many people. Do you realize that is the Lord's design of the New Testament church? That's why He gave us the Great Commission, which says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. If you want to be taught, if you want to grow, it has to be through a New Testament church. Okay? It has to be through a New Testament church. And God has put people in place in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Do you realize I'm here to get you ready to go out there? Do you realize that your Bible study teacher is here to get you ready to go out there? Do you realize one of the main goals and ministries of the church is teaching? There has to be an avenue where you're fed on a regular basis. Okay? And one of the great fears that I have today is that there are so many churches that are casting the Bible aside. They'll have a great music program and that's it. Beloved, I love singing praises to the Lord, and which, by the way, worship service this morning was absolutely awesome. But if you want to be fed, it's going to have to come from the Word of God. Therefore, it's got to come from the pulpit. And if you're not being fed, there's a problem. It happens in worship. It happens in this preaching environment. It happens in Sunday school. But beloved, it has to happen. And let me just offer you this. If you're not being fed, first place to go is on your knees. All right? It's on your knees. But if you're not being fed, and you've spent that time on your knees and God shows you, I don't care if it's this preacher, you need to get rid of this preacher. If you're going to a church that you're not being fed a wholesome diet of the Word of God, you need to change churches. I don't care if it's this church. That seems kind of hard. Brother Doug, you trying to run somebody off? No, I'm telling you, I'm explaining to you the importance of what church is all about. It's more than a light show. It's more than bands and guitar music. It's more than buildings. I praise God for this building. It's a beautiful building and God has blessed us. But the reality is, it's concrete and carpet. And the reality is, you need a spiritual diet. Make sure, whether it's the Sunday school class, and you know, sometimes Sometimes we need to change Sunday school classes. You know? Now listen, I'm all for every one of our every one of our Bible study teachers. However, if you're not being fed, it's time for a new class. If you're not being fed, you're not going to serve. If you're not going to serve, you're not going to build up the body of Christ. Listen, in closing, your spiritual health depends on your church affiliation. Bottom line, your spiritual health depends on your church affiliation. The health of your church depends on you. All right? It's amazing how it works both ways. When your church is healthy, you're healthy. When you're healthy, your church is healthy, spiritually speaking. Beloved, you need the Lord's church. That's what He has trained you for. That is what He has brought you into a church environment for, to be a part of this church. Like I said, I'm not here today to talk anybody into anything about joining Victory Baptist Church. However, if the Lord's been leading you in that direction, come on down. Okay, during this invitation, just a minute. Come on down if the Lord's leading you, certainly. But maybe you just need to spend some serious time praying. Lord, where do you want me? It's time to spend that time praying. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to make the Lord's church the priority that God intends for it to be. I close with this scripture. Ephesians 3:21. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Is God glorified by your church affiliation? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your New Testament church that is such a joy, such an encouragement to be a part of. And Lord, we praise you for allowing us to be a part and for making us a part. Lord, now I pray that during this invitation, that it's time for us to deal with you. It's time for us to respond to your leading. Lord, I first of all pray for those who are lost. I pray that today will be the day that they turn to you for salvation. I pray, Lord, for those who are saved, that, Lord, if they're not a part of a church, that you'll begin to move in their lives and that, Lord, they'll respond to your moving. I pray for those, Lord, who are members of this church, but who've taken the membership for granted. Let things slip and let things slide. I pray today will be a day of rededication. Lord, I pray that you will move among us as only you can do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.